This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Kansas City, where they don't put good things on top of spaghetti. I had people that were upset that I mocked Cincinnati, or Cincinnati.
Yeah.
For wasting valuable bowl space.
Yeah.
With very good chili by insisting on putting it over spaghetti.
I'm with you. Fritos are the way to go.
Yeah. Or, I mean, we do Doritos.
There you go.
We just dip them. We just treat the chili like a dip.
Yeah.
But, man. And I was like, why are you slandering chili? I'm like, nope, wasn't slandering chili. Nope. I was criticizing the need, the necessity to waste time with spaghetti. Spaghetti's fine.
Right.
I'm not anti-spaghetti. I just don't want it under chili.
Yeah.
All right, we should probably do a wall of sound, and then we're going to talk to Taylor Zarzer, who is the preseason voice of the Carolina Panthers. He will be in Washington. He also is a host on SiriusXM's PGA Tour Radio. So we had a lot of things to talk to Taylor about, but we'll do that in a little bit. Right now, let's do the wall of sound.
The wall of sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
All right, we will start with the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. You know him, you love him, Matt Rhule. Sporting News named him the 32nd best head coach in the NFL. You know what? It's not terrible to be roughly a top 30 head coach in the NFL.
I guess. I just don't like him.
He's a head coach. He's head coach in the NFL. I actually think that's a little bit unfair. First of all, I don't know how you can put anybody who has never been a head coach ahead of Matt Rhule. I just don't.
Yeah, makes sense.
I mean, everybody else has to be at least incomplete. Anyway, Matt Rhule on the quarterback tandem in front of the game against Washington.
We won't announce that yet, but we know each guy's going to get a series. So we're going to play a lot of our starters, I don't know, 8, 10, 12, 15 plays, depending on how the series goes. So I will play each quarterback for one series and then kind of get those guys out, play the rest of the guys the rest of the game.
There you go. One series each. I mean, Luke is probably right. We had Luke Dukakis on about an hour ago. He's probably right to say we could have criticized any move, but I'm going to criticize this one because, I mean, we have 3 hours to kill. I just don't know what's gained by just giving each guy one series. I don't think it's too much to give each guy two series. They go out, whatever they do, and then you bring them off the field, and then you make some adjustments, and you send them back out. Because it's all a fact-finding mission at this point, unless we don't have to find facts, in which case, I get it. I understand. All right, the preseason is also about transition for a lot of teams. It is about quarterbacks, including new ones. So Keyshawn Johnson from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning, because we all know that, and Kyle Shanahan said it, thanks to Jimmy G, but he ain't the guy anymore. Trey Lance is the guy, and he is taking over, and Keyshawn talked about Trey Lance.
I'm sure that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan has done everything within their power to get him ready for this moment. How much he plays tonight against the Green Bay Packers, we don't know. We'll see, because he certainly needs the work. But what I would take from this is Kyle Shanahan isn't too far removed from his dad and Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan went through a number of young quarterbacks, whether it was RG3 or Jay Cutler or Brian Greasy. They're not afraid to play young quarterbacks with little to no experience at all and still have some success at doing it. So I got to put the trust in Kyle Shanahan now that he made this move, because me personally, I probably wouldn't have right now. But because of what they did to go up to get him, I certainly have an understanding of why they want to move on from Jimmy G and start the Trey Lance era right now.
All right, I'm going to put it this way. We have no idea if Trey Lance is going to be any good. Zero idea. I will trust Kyle Shanahan that Trey Lance won't be bad, right? I'm sure there are going to be mistakes that Jimmy Garoppolo would not make. Although, sometimes we overrate guys. And people who have watched Jimmy Garoppolo play, like, are never surprised when Jimmy Garoppolo does something stupid. So maybe Jimmy G just isn't all that. And that's to me, Jimmy Garoppolo is a top 20-ish, top 25-ish starting quarterback in the NFL. Solid, somebody who you can win with, but probably isn't going to win you games. With that said, I think head coaches have to make decisions. All right. We have this particular team, and I think the 49ers do have a good team, a very good team. But if we want to win a Super Bowl, Jimmy G probably isn't the guy. And even year one of Trey Lance might not be the guy. But this team next year, we think will still be good, and maybe we have to take a slight step back to take a giant step forward. I'll use the example of Clemson a few years ago. Kelly Bryant was the quarterback. We had just seen Kelly Bryant play a full season. Clemson got to the playoff, I think it was the semifinals, and got beat bad because Kelly Bryant was just okay. And Dabo Swinney recognized that if we want to win a title, we need somebody dynamic at quarterback. Alabama had gone through that with Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. Tua was more dynamic as a quarterback. Hurts was solid and steady, but at that point, Alabama needed better, and it worked. And it also worked for Clemson. Sweeney recognized we're not winning with Kelly. We're not winning at all with Kelly. We have to take this chance. Now, Trevor Lawrence could have been not great as a freshman, but they took the chance. As it turned out, he was great as a freshman. I would argue better as a freshman than he was as a sophomore and a junior, but that's a different argument altogether. All right, a couple of more things before we have to get out of here and talk to Taylor Zarzer. Last night, the Giants beat the Patriots, which, of course, is entirely inconsequential to the conversation about the Giants or the Patriots. Brandon Jacobs, former fullback for the Giants, former running back for the Giants, I guess, really haven't had a fullback in a long time. But Jacobs was on ESPN this morning, and he thinks the Giants can compete in the NFC East.
This is not the NFC West, which that's a dog-eat-dog conference over there. That division over there last year was very special. I don't see that in the NFC East. I don't see, you know, like you said, I don't see one team that's going to for sure destroy you when you get off the plane. You know, I don't see that team there. So I think there's a lot of room, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for the New York Giants to step in and be able to take the division and win it. You know, there's no real monster, and I think it can be done.
Okay, real quick on that. I mean, it's not the NFC West. That nobody is arguing that. It's not the AFC West. It's not the AFC North. But I don't think the Giants are as good as Dallas. And I certainly don't think they're as good as Philadelphia, who I think is better than Dallas. So, I mean, I guess we can always say that the Giants can compete. Truth is that Philly's probably not a 13-win team. So if Philly comes in at, say, 11-6, I mean, maybe the Giants can get to 9-8. Theoretically, you'd be in it, but I don't think the Giants... Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value. Or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda. With Daniel Jones or Tyrod Taylor, I don't think they're going to challenge for the division. But here's the good thing about sports. We have no idea.
Nope.
No clue. Maybe the Giants stay healthy and things click. Maybe Saquon Barkley becomes the guy that was drafted number two overall and can help control the game. I think the Giants are developing into a decent offensive line, so maybe they can protect their quarterback and run the ball enough to win a bunch of games. All remains to be seen, but we're in friendly season now.
Yep.
It is so exciting to have games on your television that you can bet on, and I know people do it, and I'm not even throwing any shade, but I just don't know how you bet preseason football.
No.
I just don't know how you do it. With that said, I don't know.
You should just buy some scratch-offs at that point.
Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You have the Panthers on the money line.
Yeah.
Right.
My fake money. Mm-hmm.
Right, but they were plus what? I think it was two and a half?
Yes.
Two and a half? I think so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Feeling on Washington. Washington's got Carson Wentz at quarterback. I have no idea if he's going to play tonight. All right, when we come back, the voice of the friendlies, if you will, on WRAL-TV5, Taylor Zarzur. Next. All right, my friend Taylor Zarzur is joining us. You can listen to him and his friend, because I don't really know Steve Smith, tomorrow at 1 o'clock when the Panthers and Commandos play in Washington, and he joins us from D.C. You were on the radio in Charlotte this morning on my as I was driving in, and now you're in D.C., the power of transportation. All right, sir, let's talk about your partner real quick. What's it like to be in a booth with Steve Smith completely unhinged?
Or travel with him nonstop, rental cars and airplanes, and yeah, then on trips. He's always been exactly what you've seen from afar, AG. He has been brutally honest in every moment of his life, including on the air, and that's what makes him special. By the way, I am on the campus of the University of Maryland is where I am right now.
Really?
I'm in College Park. This is where Panthers are staying, and then we will be busting over to see Riverboat Ron tomorrow when the Panthers, and as you said, I like that. Can I call them the Commandos tomorrow?
That's all I'm calling them. I actually wish they had stayed the Washington football team. I think that it would have been different. I think you could have branded that. I think as much of a clown show as that organization is, the best thing they've got going for him is Ron Rivera. And I said they needed somebody like that, somebody solid, somebody with respect, because there's not a lot of respect going on with that front office. But, I just call them the Commandos. By shouts to Ellicott Hall. If you're on the campus of the University of Maryland, Scott Van Pelt lived in Ellicott Hall, and I did at the same time. Same room, but different floors. So there you go. If you just ask around, they won't remember me either. All right, let's talk about what does Steve Smith think about the quarterbacks? I'm asking you what Steve Smith thinks. What do you think about the quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think both of us think that Baker Mayfield's going to be the starting quarterback. Last night during Fan Fest, Smitty humorously said that he gives Baker an 89% chance to be the starting quarterback of the team this year, and I'd go even higher than that. You don't trade for Baker Mayfield for him to back up Sam Darnold. You don't draft Matt Corral and then bring in Baker Mayfield unless you think that Baker is going to be the starter. And based on what I've seen so far in camp, then I certainly would think that is going to be the case. I don't know that he'll get the first reps tomorrow. He might. I think that you'll see Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold probably both go about a series.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And then you'll see a whole lot of Matt Corral and some of PJ Walker tomorrow. I think that in Ben McAdoo's offense, who's the new offensive coordinator for the Panthers, he wants someone that's athletic and that can move around. And certainly Mayfield is more athletic than Sam Darnold is. Matt Corral is athletic too, and he could be a good fit in this Ben McAdoo offense, but maybe he's not ready to be the starting quarterback just yet. So I would look for Mayfield and Corral to be the future of McAdoo's offense in Carolina.
Taylor Zarzer is joining us. He'll be on the call as the Panthers take on Washington tomorrow at 1 o'clock. He'll be with Steve Smith. You can watch it locally here in Raleigh on WRAL TV5. So that's cool. I get to plug the company. Always good when you get a chance to do that. Other things that really intrigue me, when we talk about position, I agree with you. Baker Mayfield's going to be the starting quarterback because there was no reason to trade for him if he is not going to be the starting quarterback. But I am more interested in what happens at left tackle, and I am really interested at what happens at, I guess, the number two wide receiver, assuming that DJ Moore is number one wide receiver, because I'm not sure that Terrace Marshall isn't better than Robbie Anderson. Might not be faster, but I think he might be better. What's your take on those two positions?
Yeah, good stuff there. By the way, it's taken me 44, almost 45 years to be on the Big Five. I'm pretty pumped about that tomorrow. I'm serious. That's pretty neat. Tom Suter, eat your heart out.
There you go.
I think you're right about Terrace Marshall. I think he has a real chance to supplant Robbie Anderson as the second best receiver for the Panthers this year. We saw what happened to Robbie as the season went on last year. Robbie needs to prove to everybody in Charlotte that he is fired up to be a Panther this year and needs to have a little more effort level and energy level, I think, in the next couple of weeks. And if that's the case, then Terrace, I think, has a golden opportunity to become the second receiver behind DJ Moore. That'll be something fun to watch as the preseason unfolds, especially those scrimmages, Adam, that the Panthers have against the Patriots coming up next week. Those are vital, the scrimmages. Everybody's going to play in those. For what you said about left tackle, I think that by the time the season starts, the best tackle in college football last year, who played at NC State, who grew up in Charlotte, Ike Ekwonu, will be the left tackle for the Panthers. Yeah. It would not surprise me if Brady Christensen is the left guard, though, instead of playing left tackle. Christensen maybe by trade is a left tackle, and he's had a really good camp, and he's been a great teammate to Ekwonu, but it wouldn't surprise me if they slide Christensen in at left guard next to Ekwonu as Ekwonu continues to try to learn playing left tackle in the National Football League and how to pass protect at the highest level. This guy is immensely talented. Everybody's raved about his willingness to learn. You're going to see him probably get more reps than most of the eventual starters in these three preseason games.
Yeah, he is he's a dynamite young man too. By the way, if you can work in Jamburger at some point during the broadcast, Tom Suter, who I'm sure will be watching, would really appreciate that. Taylor Zarzer is joining us. Let me get to your other gig, because I was listening to you on Sirius XM this morning on The Starter, which is a staple of mine, especially now that I'm leaving the house around 7 o'clock, so I get to hear a whole bunch of you. I termed the PGA Tour's win over LIV Golf a 3-1 win, just to use a match play terminology. It was close for a lot of people. I thought they would win because I thought that in this case, logic and legal kind of married up. Do you think it's a significant win from the standpoint that the PGA Tour was told that you can enforce your rules? That's where I am on this. What are your thoughts?
I do think that it was significant. I think that the PGA Tour had a lot more to lose, Adam, this week than LIV Golf did. If LIV Golf would have gotten a temporary injunction or their players would have, those three players to play in Memphis, that I think would have been seen as a massive victory for LIV Golf moving forward, that you could, in essence, have a stay or an injunction, a temporary restraining order to play in any event that you want that the PGA Tour sanctioned moving forward. If there had been kind of a blueprint to do that, I think that would have been really bad news for the PGA Tour. I think that it's what I'll find fascinating is like, say, at the Players or the WGC or an event that has a stipulation that if you're ranked in the top 50 in the world golf rankings or in the match place case, the top 64, I'm wondering if there is a path for those players to play in those events, because it's not simply you have to be a PGA Tour member, like it is in the FedEx Cup playoffs. I'm interested to see if players try to work their way through the courts into those events moving forward. But no question it was a win for the PGA Tour for the playoffs. This would have been a massive distraction throughout the next couple of weeks had, say, Taylor Gooch played in all three of these events.
Look, it's potentially a distraction if Cam Smith, who I think we all agree is probably going to go to the LIV Golf Tour, whether it's right after the FedEx Cup playoffs or after the President's Cup, it's going to be enough of a distraction if Cam Smith does what he did at the Open Championship and hoists the big trophy at Eastlake in a few weeks. One quick thing, I heard you talking about this with Brad Faxon this morning, and I've heard you talk about it before. I think the world rankings, with no points going to the players who are playing on the LIV Golf Tour, and the only points they're going to get, like Patrick Reed's playing in Asia, I thought he didn't want to play that much golf, or if you're playing in major championships, which a lot of these guys will, if they don't get world rankings points, they're not going to be in the top 64 anyway. I think it's possible that none of them will be in the top 64 by the time we get to the next next WGC. I don't know that anybody other than Dustin Johnson has a chance really to be ranked. Cam Smith would be. Cam Smith would be a slam dunk because he's not going to fall that far in about 6 months.
Yeah, he's number two, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So he's not going to fall that far. But no world rankings points, I think, definitely does matter. And I think you and I have talked about this before, and we'll close on this. Taylor Zarzur here. I don't know if the majors have to do anything. But is your sense that they want to prevent LIV players from going to their events?
I think ideally they would not like them to play in their events. I think that if you listen to Martin Slumbers, who runs the RNA at St. Andrews, it's clear he doesn't think it's good for the game. I have not heard Fred Ridley, the chairman at Augusta National, say this publicly. I've talked to Mike Wan. It's obvious that those guys aren't thrilled with the fact that LIV Golf exists. I think, however, though, I'd be a bit surprised if they banned LIV golfers from competing in their major championships if they've already qualified for their events. I think that most people that are connected to those events would say what makes our event so great is that we have all of the best players on our property. And especially since we're not going to get that, Adam, at any other point during the year in the next few years until this settles itself, that makes the majors even a bigger deal. So it's hard for me to imagine the Masters saying, we're going to take 5 or 10 or 15 players that qualified for our major championship out of the tournament because we don't agree with what LIV Golf is doing. I think they're going to swallow their pride for a few days and say, you know what, let's just have all the best golfers in the world play against each other, no matter where they play and no matter if we disagree with who their employer is.
Taylor Zarzur, he'll be saying Jamburger on WRAL TV5 tomorrow at 1 o'clock next to Steve Smith, Sirius XM as well in the mornings on The Starter. Thank you very much, my friend. Have a good time. I'll talk to you soon.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to raise my fist like Tom Suter did on Friday Night Football tomorrow during the broadcast.
You are the man. Thanks very, very much, Taylor. Taylor Zarzur here on The Adam Gold Show. All right, when we come back, we are taking the NFL tour to Kansas City.
Yes.
Dennis, who did not make any picks today.
I know.
Victoria had to make
show
Dennis.
Up today?
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe Dennis is like locked in a massive game of Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
I don't know, whatever he plays. Next. I am Adam Gold. Victoria on the ones and twos. Normally on the ones and twos is Dennis Cox, officially in the program, the producer of this show. And he joins us because we're talking NFL cities. And this is his baby, but I have a question for you since normally you're on the ones and twos. So here's my question. Victoria today is deciding to play all Yacht Rock.
Okay.
Is Ramblin' Man by the Allman Brothers Yacht Rock?
No, that may have been a stretch. I just really wanted to hear it.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's fine. I just needed a ruling.
Yeah.
That's much better. I feel much better about that.
I wanted us to go out on a good one.
Also, Dennis, you understand this. You know, I'm a huge Steely Dan fan.
Yes.
Like, I forget which song you played by Steely Dan earlier. It bothers me that Steely Dan is classified as yacht rock.
Yeah.
Because so much of it isn't, but I recognize that some of it is.
Mm.
It just makes me, I don't know why. I have put a stigma on yacht rock, and yacht rock is fine. As long as you're not listening to Air Supply.
Who cares?
Don't listen to Air Supply.
You only live once.
No, people.
I'm with you on the don't listen to Air Supply.
All right, sir.
But you know what? If you're on a yacht and you want to listen to the Allman Brothers, go for it.
Yeah, yes. What you're listening to on the yacht, because I have never been on a yacht.
I've never been on a yacht either.
Been on a yacht. You can listen to the Allman Brothers anywhere. Before we start where, Dennis is going to take us through Kansas City, coming up after this, something that was announced, I believe it was yesterday. I think it was yesterday, might have been the day before. Absolutely brilliant move by the league that made the announcement, and we're going to talk about the right way to honor a true legend on and off the court. But we'll do that after we go to Kansas City. Are you ready, Dennis?
Yes, I am prepared.
All right, let's go. We have music for Kansas City? No? This is the music.
Just the same old music.
This is the music this we have for it. Kansas City, Dennis.
Yep.
Yes. All right,
so you start. Take us to Kansas City.
Okay, well, there's a few things you got to go do while you're in Kansas City. I'll hit some of the highlights here real quick. For example, they actually have a lot of different museums and places for you to explore, I guess you could say. There's the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, as well as the Truman Presidential Library and Museum as well. So you can go check those out. They also have an Arabia Steamboat Museum in Kansas City.
Okay, I have questions. First of all, we're previewing all NFL cities until we get to the opener. I didn't say that as we came out of the break in this segment. What is an Arabia Steamboat?
Great question.
And B, why is an Arabia Steamboat, which doesn't sound like it belongs in Kansas City, why is a museum of Arabian steamboats in Kansas City?
I'll be honest, I have no idea.
Oh, great.
But I'm intrigued by it. I'm wondering,
Works this way. My mind is curious.
Yeah, I'm curious too. I was like, wait, there's an Arabia Steamboat Museum in Kansas City, Missouri? Why not? Let's go check it out. Also, another place you can check out while you're there, Adam, or whomever is there.
Right.
They also have a National Museum of Toys and Miniatures, which I think would be really cool to check out.
Toys. Miniatures sounds a little creepy to me.
It does sound a little creepy, so go during the daytime. But yeah, definitely cool checking out toys. But also the Negro League Baseball Museum is located in Kansas City, which Kansas City Monarchs, the initial team that Jackie Robinson played for when he started his professional career. So definitely another place worth checking out as well.
Absolutely.
I know a lot of people like to want to go to local breweries and such, but if you want to go buy some alcohol, you got to go to Plaza Liquor Store, because that's where you have to go there. It's right by Arrowhead Stadium. Because that's where Katie Kamlin, the one who scooped all the NFL insiders on Patrick Mahomes' big contract extension, when a bunch of the front office members for Kansas City stopped in there 2 years ago to buy bottles of Dom Perignon because they wanted to celebrate this big contract signing for Patrick Mahomes. So she tweeted something out there. Sure enough, she beat everyone saying, hey, looks like there's a big contractor signing coming up with the Chiefs. And sure enough, a couple hours later, Adam Schefter reports it. But one thing that was really cool was that the front office had a bottle left over from the Dom Perignon. So they sent it to her, and it was actually the little note signed by Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes.
That's
so they
did that to her.
Yeah, which I thought was a really cool thing, too.
That is very cool. And she scooped Adam Schefter. ESPN should have hired her.
Yes.
No offense to Adam Schefter. I have no problem with Adam Schefter. That's awesome. Yes.
So anyway, if you want to buy alcohol, you got to stop there. She was the beer manager. According to her Twitter profile, she's no longer there. But she also
moved up.
Oh, yeah, exactly. She moved up in the world. But also Kansas City is oftentimes mentioned as one of the best barbecue cities in the entire country.
Yeah.
Oftentimes mentioned up there with Memphis. They kind of get rated 1-2 oftentimes. Now, as we know, North Carolina is the best state when it comes to barbecue. But in terms of cities, Kansas City is up there. So Kansas City barbecue it's smoked with the dry rub, but it also has a tomato-based barbecue sauce with it. So I guess you can kind of compare it to a Lexington style. But it's a tomato-based barbecue sauce, but again, a lot of burnt ends. And they're also, their barbecue, really any meats. Whereas North Carolina, pork is our go-to. They'll really go with any meats out there in Kansas City. Sometimes they'll even barbecue fish.
That's
interesting.
A little
bit less off. It is a little interesting.
I wonder what fish would you barbecue?
I don't know.
None.
Tuna?
Yeah.
I'm kind of with Victoria. Yeah. Tuna's very good.
I like it blackened, so I would say none.
Tuna's very good. You ever have swordfish?
No.
Swordfish, very good. Very, very good.
Maybe some trout, some fresh river trout.
Well, yeah. Well, the tuna and the swordfish are more steak fishes.
Okay.
But yes, we have salmon like once a week at home. Salmon is just next level good. I challenge you to screw up salmon. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's just naturally sweet.
Well,
you don't even need anything.
I went to a place that dried it out real bad.
Cook it too long. Yeah. But it's hard to mess salmon up. Really is. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Challenge accepted on that.
All right. Now,
there are a few top barbecue places to go check out. So you have Jones Barbecue as well as Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, a couple top places. But apparently Kurt's Famous Meats has been around since 1947. Now, they did change ownership in the late 80s, but still it's the same menu, same style of cooking. Again, been around since 1947. I think you've been doing something since 1947 and you're still around, probably doing something right.
Is the new owner named Kurt?
No.
Okay. Well,
I wish.
You should change the name. I guess if you've been around since 1947, you keep the name. Maybe you change your name to Kurt.
Maybe. Just change your middle name to Kurt. That way you say you go by that.
Okay.
Now, a place you can go to, not only to get maybe some wings or burgers, but also to get a great donut, Johnny's Donuts.
That's Johnny's Donuts.
Yes, Johnny's Donuts has been around for, I think, four decades, actually, in Kansas City. It's been a staple there. But not only can you get donuts while you're there, they sell burgers, they sell fish, they do wings, chicken platters, the whole deal. So really it's a one-stop shop for all your food needs. Apparently is the place to go. And actually I was looking up their website. They actually don't have a website, but I did find people that posted pictures of their menu.
Right.
It's just the board with just the individual letters and numbers pushed in. It's one of those kinds of menus. So they don't even have like a printout or anything like that. And also just stuff handwritten on like a piece of paper saying this is what's available today. Yeah, exactly. It's like, this is what we have today. It's like, this is great. This is the kind of place I want to eat food.
I'm just terrified that they will have like a burger or a fish sandwich on a donut. Because
I believe we can do that.
We don't need that.
I believe you can do that.
We don't need that.
I think you can.
All right.
Actually, they have a chicken donut burger that you can get.
Really?
Yeah.
At the fair, there's that whole like Krispy Kreme thing.
I don't want that.
That's a bad time.
I don't want that.
That's a bad time.
Yeah, they do donut burgers too.
Like the fair's coming, right? What are we, like 2.5 months away from the fair? I'm not, actually probably less. I don't mind eating weird things.
Mm-hmm.
I have to draw the line, and I will draw the line at using a two donuts as a bun for a burger or
whatever.
That's
a good idea.
I just draw the line at that.
Yeah.
I also don't, I don't put bacon on ice cream. Sorry.
No. To each their own, Adam. To each their own.
I'm with you.
All right, see?
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997, with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.